Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Today, what we're going to be doing is continuing an interview that Tim and I were able to do on the Redeem Her Time podcast with Lissa Fagans. So in the last episode, we started talking about how negative beliefs can really hold you back. And then in today's episode, as we continue on, we're going to talk about how the EMDR process can really help with that. And EMDR just stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. And it's a trauma treatment that is very effective. And so we're going to be talking about that on today's episode and just how that can really uproot those negative beliefs so that you can live your life in a way that is more purposeful and where these negative beliefs aren't holding you back. And this was originally aired on Lissa's podcast in January. And so if I were you, I would definitely head over there and listen to all the other things that she has available, as well as at her website. She has a lot of different resources available for you. She's a Christian time management coach and a business owner and CEO, and she just does everything with such excellence. And she is such a great person to know. And so make sure that you head over there and get to know her a little better. All right, let's jump into today's episode.
You know, it's so interesting because, like, the beliefs is something that I didn't go to that at first when I was working on myself, right? I wanted to go to, give me the tools, give me the techniques, tell me the A, B, and C's, or the give me the checklist. And what I found is that I can have great tools in my hand to do whatever it is, particularly time management, right, and what I do now, but anything. But if I've got this wrong mindset and belief system, those tools are going to be pretty ineffective because I'm going to be limited in my understanding or limited in being able to see, you know, what's really happening or to be able to even see what God says about something versus just how I'm feeling or what other people have told me something means. So how do we start then changing these things? You know, I mean, obviously there are definitely a lot of times when we do need to sit down with people like you guys, you know, directly, but sometimes, you know, maybe if we're catching a thought or we're reacting to something in a certain way, how can we kind of maybe, you know, start noticing that more and start like working towards what we can do with that so we don't stay stuck with wherever that negative belief or thought is keeping us?
Yeah, that's a great question. And before we answer that, I want to just speak to kind of what you said about sometimes we can cognitively know. So as children of God, as a daughter of the King, right? I know my identity is in Christ. I know what he says in his word. So I can cognitively know that, but I don't feel it. And a lot of times that's what lack of translation then allows us to not live out what his calling is for us, right? And so one of the things that I would say is to ask yourself, what do I believe about my identity that's not true? So we just talked about all these experiences that we experience, but really it's underneath. What is that belief? Like the I'm in danger, I'm not good enough, I'm not in control, I'm helpless. All these things cause us to feel a certain way and act in those beliefs rather than of what the truth God says. And if we truly want to magnify Christ in all that we do, we need to make sure that our identity aligns with that. And so I think a lot of times we can as Christians begin to say, oh, you know, I know I'm a child of God. I know that I'm chosen. I know that, you know, all these lists of things. And we say, you know, God's the creator and he's such a great God and he's so patient and kind and giving. And then we turn around and say, oh, but I'm not good enough and I'm so stupid and I can't succeed. But you just talked about how the creator is the creator. And then you're now talking about his creation, which is you, and how he made a mistake on that creation. And so it just doesn't align. So it truly is so important to then really take care of these things and align it with who God says we are.
And I think to your question, to answer that, like, what are some things that we can do? And the first is obviously noticing that we have some type of negative belief system that is holding us back. And then like an easy thing that you can do to find negative belief system is you can just Google search. It's called negative cognitions or negative cognition list. There should be 3 or 4 pages that pop up within the first couple of Google searches that should just come up with just a sheet of positive and negative beliefs. And if you read through those negative beliefs and one kind of jumps out and grabs you, you're like, ooh, that hurts. Now, some of you may read the list and you may be like, oh, almost all of those hurt. Right? That definitely is a possibility. Yeah, all of these. And everyone that you read and it kind of grabs you and it speaks to you and it hurts and it's uncomfortable when you read that, that's some type of negative belief that you're struggling with. And so once you're aware that you have that negative belief, then what you can do is you can start actively combating that negative belief. So if your negative belief is like, I'm unacceptable like mine was, and you're aware that that's what it is, then trying to filter through when you're going through your day, when is that negative belief jumping out? When is that kind of getting triggered? Or when is it kind of biting onto me? And then what you do after that is then you can just challenge that negative belief and say, you know what? That's not true though. I am accepted. Here's places where I am accepted. And so we call these positive affirmations. So you can work at giving yourself positive affirmations. Now, this takes time and effort, and you may have to challenge a negative cognition or negative belief like hundreds of times in a day. And it can almost feel like nauseating sometimes how much you have to challenge it. But the longer you let it just kind of free range in your brain, that negative belief, the stronger it gets. You're like feeding that negative belief and it's getting worse and worse. Versus if you, every time it comes up, you do a thought stopping technique and you're like, that's not me. This is actually me.
Yeah. And this is very different than kind of the name it and claim it, or, you know, speaking positive affirmations over your day, which I think there's certainly a place for that. And there's good fruit that can come from that. But this is separate from that. It's not us saying, I am so successful and I am powerful and I'm going to, but it's like Tim said, finding areas in our life where, you know what, this isn't truth. And it combats that, and finding areas in, or finding verses in his word that says, this is the truth. And so if you can find other areas like Tim did, he was zeroed in on this bullying experience. So when he thought of 4th to 5th grade, that's what he kind of zeroed in on, and the camera lens was there. But after going through the process and really figuring this out, it kind of zoomed out and he could see that bigger picture of, you know what, I was accepted on this swim team. I had friends here. And so that's what we're talking about, is finding the truth throughout the day, whether it's through the word and through the Bible, whether it's what other people are saying about you and people that we trust, right? Because we want to make sure that we're wise in who we seek counsel from, or even just different experiences that we have. But being able to ask ourselves that question about what do I believe about my identity that's not true, and then find that those triggers, like Tim said, and then find what the truth is and begin to do that and speak that over yourself.
Yeah.
And even right now, I'm sure just what Ruth said, I'm sure some of the listeners are going to be like, well, when people say that I'm this good thing, I don't believe them. And that's something you also have to challenge, say, no, they are not a liar. I'm going to choose to believe what they have just said. And so even then you have to thought stop in that moment in order to be able to get the benefit of the positive affirmations you're getting from other people and then also from yourself.
And even taking it a step further and saying, what does God say about me? Right. It may be hard for me to believe what another person says, but when we go back to what does God say about me? Right. There's a different level of not only authority, like you said, because he is the creator, you know, but there's where my true identity lies. And then from there, now I can start to see these things affirmed in the people that are around me and like, oh, OK, so they're seeing these things in me that God's already said are true. So it might make it a little bit easier to do that. Ruth, I love that you said this is not just like the name it and claim it, because I literally have notebooks and I might have thrown them away by now because I was like, I can't believe I did this. I was told right? Like write that mantra. And if you do it for like a whole page or like 50 times every day, like it was going to create this new pathway in your brain. And I can't tell you how much time I wasted writing whatever that dumb phrase was that I was working on for however many months. And I didn't believe it anymore at the end of every page that I wrote. My hand was tired. I wasted a lot of ink and time, but I didn't really change anything because like what you guys are saying is I didn't get down to the root of where is this coming from and how it's rooted in something not true. And then intentionally plucking that up and then planting in God's truth and letting that be then what guides my thoughts, my beliefs, my feelings, actions, things like that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that when we begin to really, like you said, look to God as what is that authority and what does he say about me, right? Looking at whether it's through the Bible. But really what this process does that we're talking about is it quiets the voices around you that we no longer need or want to hear, right? Those voices from when we were 5 years old and they said, you're so ugly. Are you so dumb? You know, it really helps to quiet that because there are four voices that you can listen to. You can listen to yourself, which a lot of us are really, really cruel to ourselves. And we're really not, there's not a lot of truth there. You can listen to the people around you. And there might be some truth there, but the other camp of people who are saying you're not good enough. And then you have the enemy. And then you can listen to God's voice. And so what you really need to do is quiet the voices all around you so that you can hear his voice and that you can know what the truth is about your identity. And so when we talk about this process, I think that it is important to figure out what is it that I believe, right, about my identity? Where are the triggers that lies? What is the truth, right? Take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. But then after that, and that's where we come in, is then if you are still stuck, because we don't want to be just the type of people that say, you know, go and pray about it and don't have the help to get you past that stuck area. But when you get to that point and you're like, I just cannot, it's that same idea of I can have someone on the couch all day long and tell them you are worthy, you are loved, you are this, but they don't feel it. And then they can't live it out like we were talking about in the beginning. But when that happens, that's when you need to then maybe look at the past and maybe think, are there areas that I need to kind of uproot or areas that I need to address? And like Tim said, it's oftentimes things that we don't even recognize. I've seen a lot of people who, even with sexual abuse, even with, you know, things that we think are big T traumas, that we're like, that has to affect you. They have come to a place where they're like, no, it doesn't bother me. But they also haven't done work on it. And so it's then taking a look at that and saying, well, maybe it is really bothering you, but you don't know, or this could be the way you're coping with it, right? And so I think that then is the next step, is that if those other steps don't work, to really get the help that you need to be able to walk through a healing process.
Absolutely. Actually, it's something that I tell my clients all the time after we have worked through some stuff and they've really made good progress. And they're like, man, I did not know like how much that was bothering me. And I kind of tease them a little bit. I say, like, yeah, you had to come to a therapist to find out how messed up you really were. A lot of people are walking around and they think that they're fine. They don't recognize how much damage they may actually have. But the problem is that they are assessing how much damage they have, considering themselves to be the normal or the average. And then they may not be. They may be walking around with a massive amount of damage, but they're just used to it at that point. And they're just, they've learned to be comfortable walking around essentially with like a broken leg. But life could be so much easier and so much more fluid if they got that leg set and casted up and then healed in the appropriate way. Same thing with those traumas, same thing with those negative core beliefs. Like, so what you were saying earlier is, you know, you were writing down those affirmations and it didn't do it for you. And sometimes that can work, but I'd say that works for more like mild negative beliefs. But if it's more of like a medium or intense negative belief, then it's much less likely to take effect. And the reason why is because these negative beliefs, they are held into our brain, not by logic, but by emotion. And the stronger the emotional attachment is to that, the less likely you're going to be able to get rid of that negative belief through conventional means.
So interesting how the brain works, right? And it holds on to those things, even when we're not fully aware. And, you know, so interesting. It becomes, like you said, our new normal. And we just think, this is just how life is. And, this, you know, we don't even realize what's on the other side. So let's kind of look at the other side, right? Whether it be from your own experience or working with, you know, with clients or just kind of in general, like when people do start seeing change where they are able to identify these negative past things are holding them back, or these negative beliefs or negative thoughts, and get those roots out, how do things shift for them? What does that start allowing them to do that maybe they weren't able to before?
So one of the things that is really interesting, I always like to tell people, you have an emotional container for your day. And when bad things happen, that container fills up a little bit. And once it gets to the top, counseling terms, we'd say you decompensate. In more common vernacular, we'd say you lose it.
Right.
But, and so you can't hold on to it anymore because it's now become overwhelming. And when you go through this process and you're kind of excavating out these negative core values and belief systems, it allows you to hold more stress or more difficulty throughout the day. So that's a general thing that normally happens with every type of negative belief that you work on. But then in general, how does, when I work on this memory, what are specific benefits that I can get? It can range wildly, the benefits that you get. I had a lady who had agoraphobia, which is a disorder where it's very hard for her to go out of the house. She gets extremely anxious leaving the house. Agoraphobia gone. She could go out of the house, zero problem after it was finished or solved. Somebody had a horrible car accident, almost died, couldn't drive after that. All of a sudden could drive, like it was no big deal anymore. Or just something as simple as, like, with you, scheduling, keeping to schedule, organization, that kind of thing. I just can't find it in me to do it for some reason. I can never just make myself do these things. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I could do it and it's not a problem at all.
Yeah, and I can speak to that last one. Because I know that you always talk about it's not a disordered schedule, it's a disordered heart. And I think that's so true. And it's funny because we have these tools, and I rave about this process and making sure that you are doing it. And I've seen so much results from my clients. But then a lot of times I don't slow down enough to make sure that I am doing that same process. And so recently, in the last several months, just to be totally transparent, I haven't dealt with anxiety really very much. I've had, you know, different stints, but in the last couple of months, there was probably a 2-week period where every single day I just felt this overwhelming anxiety. And a lot of it was because I was so busy and I didn't have that margin in my day, and I kept packing things on. And then I just got to that point where what Tim's talking about is that window of tolerance. I didn't have any room left. And
your window was shattered.
It was. And so, you know, I met up with some good friends and they just asked, you know, it's that question, hey, how are you? And I just started crying and I was like, I'm fine. And clearly I was not. And it got to the point where Tim was watching this over the period of 2 weeks and he could see it. And he kept saying, like, hey, we need to sit down and we need to go through this and we need to talk about it and figure out where it's from. And I'm like, okay, after this, you know, when I have time. But it is that negative belief. And so anyway, that night he came home and he saw my puffy eyes. He's like, all right, let's do this now.
Cannot run anymore.
Right? Gotcha.
So we did. We sat down and we went through the process, and immediately that anxiety lifted. And throughout the rest of the time, I could see just the difference in my time management, my ability to kind of defeat that overwhelm. I still had anxiety just when I would think about certain things, but really I could get back to focus and think, okay, this is it. And this is a therapist talking, right? I know the process. I know it, but I never slowed down enough over this 2 weeks to get it done for myself. But it is that idea of slowing down to speed up. And Tim, I'm sure the whole time was watching, was like, I know what can help you. And I was kind of pushing it off. And this isn't to say, like, we know that at any moment, God can heal someone. We know that any moment, God can come and say, okay, you're struggling with this belief. This is the truth. And he can take, you know, the hurt from past traumas away. But this process, I also believe that this process has also really helped us to, it's changed our lives personally. It's changed our clients' lives. I do want to share one, or have Tim share one quick story about the fear of bees that's happened, how it's changed our, at that time, he was probably 6 years old, son's life.
So here's another story of the miracle. By the way, I don't think we've said the name of the process yet so far. The name of the process, EMDR, some of your listeners may be aware of it. Some of them may not be. It's something that's been around since the 80s. And the only reason I can imagine that this is not the number one therapy in the world is that it is not what you expect. When you go into your therapist's office, going through EMDR is not what you stereotypically think about when you're sitting on the couch and you're talking about your problems and your therapist is giving you advice. You're really working at not just learning how to deal with it, but what you're going through is reprogramming your brain so that it's not affected by these negative experiences or beliefs anymore. So another experience we went through, and this is a little bit more in the danger zone, we were looking at houses and our realtor was taking us around and the kids were in tow and were running all over the place looking at all these places. And we're walking down this one place and they had this kind of long wood staircase, is these railroad track, like the giant wood planks that go under the railroad tracks, right? And that was what they used to make the steps. Well, apparently a nest of hornets had made their way into one of those. And so my son, he was a couple yards ahead of us. And all of a sudden we see him just like waving his arms around. And we think like, is he like throwing a fit over here? Like what's happening? And then Ruth, I think, saw that all of a sudden there, she saw these little bugs all over the place flying. And then she's like, damn, it's bees. And I run over there and I run and I grab him. And then they start biting and stinging me. And I pick him up and I run like 100 yards, and then they start stinging me again and biting him again. So I pick him back up and I'm running some more. And that
it really was like a movie, because actually I think you probably noticed it first because I didn't know what was happening. And all I saw was Tim jet down. He slipped and fell, got up, picked our son up and started running. And it was just like the movies where you see that big swarm of bees following them. And then he put him down, same thing, that big swarm of bees. And he even got in the car and he tried to shut the door.
Yeah, I'm probably 200 or 300 yards away from the hornet's nest at this point. And yeah, I got him in the car. There, I had to swipe a wasp out of there and then close the door. And then they were even like hitting the window. I even put the car in gear and started driving a little bit. I mean, these things were bugs.
Yes. And they weren't bees. They were hornets.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously that was traumatizing to our son. And so he would get very nervous whenever he would see bees or wasps or anything like that.
Or if we would talk about going to see a house, he would say, can we not look at any houses by the lake? Or can we not look at, you know, houses with the hornets in it?
Yeah. And so when we have these negative beliefs, it diffuses. It normally isn't isolated to this one thing. So it wasn't just about bees or hornets, but it was bees, hornets, like a house by the lake, looking at houses with a realtor, like anything that was connected with that day was associated in his brain as a trauma point, right? If I go to look at another house with a realtor, I'm going to get stung again, even though that's like the realtor's, it wasn't the realtor's fault he got stung. It was just the realtor happened to be a part of the scene when he got stung. And so when I think we were in our backyard and there's just some like honeybees flying around, you know, honeybees are not nearly as aggressive as wasps. And he's just like, I'm not going out there. And like, he was super uncomfortable. And so we sat him down one day and we did this process on him. We took him through this EMDR process. And, you know, we probably worked with him for 30 minutes to an hour, something along those lines. And then it was so funny. Me and him, we were walking out in the backyard and, you know, he can hear the low hum of the bees. And then he walks up to one of the trees that the bees are kind of humming on. And he just kind of skips and he kicks his leg back and he bumps the trunk of the tree a little bit. And he says, hi, bees. And then he just kind of walks away, like zero problem all of a sudden after that. And like, it's so crazy because we do this process all the time, but it's still like mind boggling when you like see it in action like that, where you're just like, he was literally just terrified just an hour ago. And now he's like willing to risk kicking the trunk of the tree with the bees at it and then just skip along.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, talk about like being free to, like, you know, like you said, to be really who you are instead of being trapped inside, and also then be able to step into who God has called you to be, which is really what this is all about, right? Like, it's about, you know, us not being held back by the lies of the enemy or the lies that we tell ourselves and, you know, and keeping us ineffective, but in us being able to step into, like you said, our identity in him, and then let that guide our thoughts, our beliefs, our feelings, our actions, and then the fruit that we're bearing for the kingdom. So powerful. I love this. And I know we could talk all day long. You could probably tell all kinds of stories between the two of you with about all the different things that are happening. But I want to make sure as we wrap things up today to let people know where they can find you. Because like you said, there definitely is such value in having people who are trained professionals to be able to help with these types of things. This is not a, you know, go home and do this on yourself type of thing. So first of all, tell us about your podcast, because people, I want people to be able to listen to that just like I do. And then what else you guys are offering right now to help people start working with, you know, working through, right, uprooting these negative beliefs and things that have been holding them back.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, to speak real quick to what you're saying, it is truly about like living our life to honor God, because if you are emotionally wounded, you're not going to fulfill God's calling and his purpose the way that we should. And you're not going to even engage with people who are also God's children and, you know, share the truth of what you should if you are emotionally wounded. And so this absolutely is all part of like healing this so that you can live out fully God's purpose and what he's called you to, whatever that is, you know, whether it is being a time management coach, whether that is being a stay-at-home mom, whether that's being a CEO, all of these things, you can't live fully and you can't fully engage with it if you're emotionally wounded. And so you can find us at Mr. and Mrs. Therapy Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And on there, if you click on our show notes, there's a link to our Facebook group. And then we have our coaching program. And it's funny that you said, you know, this isn't something necessarily that you just do at home. But that's actually in the works. We are working on a program where it is going to be a self-guided EMDR process where you can purchase a program and that'll allow you to work on these things at home. Because it is hard, you know, to find a therapist that you click with and that you trust. But also some of these things are really hard to talk about. And so we're creating a program to be able to walk through this process at home.
Yeah. Also, if you'd like, you can email us at podcast@MrAndMrsTherapy.com.
Okay, perfect. Good. Because I know there are people who are listening who want to reach out to you or, you know, those of you listening, who do you know that would benefit from hearing a conversation like this to not be able to recognize that there's something that needs, you know, some fixing and some help with, but that there is hope on the other side and that we don't have to stay stuck in this place where these negative thoughts and beliefs and past experiences can sometimes keep us trapped. So I'm going to encourage you, reach out to Tim and Ruth. You know, I think it's so key when you find other people who are also faith-centered, right? And in a real way, not just saying I'm a Christian counselor, but like really that being what informs how they look at the world and how they approach things. And so that speaks a lot to it as well. So we'll make sure to link that stuff in the show notes. And before we go, I just thought it'd be really fun to kind of ask you guys this off-the-cuff question so you each get to answer separately, okay? Because so many of us would love to change things about our time. So if I had a bippity-boppity-boo little wand here right now and I could grant you one wish about your time, what would that be?
That is a good question. I think one thing that I would wish for, if I could just have anything with time, is just to be able to have a little bit more alone time. I like that. That's one of my favorite things. But it's also not always a practical thing, right? We have five kids and I got a wife, right? And so I have to make sure I take care of them as well. But yeah, so like for me, it's always like, because I'm an introvert, I always like and enjoy and could use more downtime.
For sure.
For me, it would be margin, just making sure. And that is self-discipline. It's me creating margin in my day and not overstacking things because I'm an extrovert and I like to be out there and stack our calendars, but that's when I'm, you know, the wildest mom. That's when I'm, you know, not my best is when I'm yelling at the kids to get in the car. We got to go to church or we got to, you know, and so I need that margin. And that's what I would wish for.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, good thing. Both of those things are things that AI can help with and you can choose to do with your time. And it has a ripple effect when we're either getting that downtime or we have that margin and everything's not so crammed together. There's something in that space, that Selah, right, of us just being able to take a deep breath. And then we can fill up and pour back out in the way that God has called us to. So thank you guys for pouring into us today. I really appreciate you, Tim and Ruth, and look forward to hearing the ripple effect that this episode has as people listen. So thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been a blast.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning into today's podcast. We are so thankful to have been able to go on to Lissa's podcast. She is such a great host. She's a great friend. And like we said at the beginning, make sure that you head over to her podcast and her website and just really connect with her there. And on today's episode, we talked a lot about EMDR and even some things that we have in the works. And so if you want to make sure that you are one of the first people to know about when things are released or about what podcasts and episodes that just came out, make sure that you head on over to our Facebook group and fill out the information in order to be submitted into that. Or shoot us an email and let us know that you want to know about what's coming up. So that way, when we do start letting people know what's happening, you'll be one of the first people to know. All right, you guys, have a great day. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.